Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This last week, I was trying to get tasked with the task of trying to get tickets for Elton John. He's just released a new date because the first one sold out in about two nanoseconds or something like that. And so there's this big countdown. You go on the site and there's a countdown, and it's not a countdown to the general sale, it's a countdown to the pre-sale. So if you want to get these tickets, you've got to get into the pre-sale. So you get into the pre-sale and there's a countdown to when the pre-sale begins. And it's a sale for his once-in-a-lifetime tour. Probably his last tour, I think that's what that means. But his once-in-a-lifetime tour. And there's this pressure as I'm sitting there. The countdown's coming down. Once-in-a-lifetime. And it's going to go down to zero. It's going to tick over to zero. And am I going to get them? Or are they just going to go vroom, as all the scalpers wade in and take all the tickets and then sell them for a great profit? And this is not even happening until September. The pressure. I'm trying to tap in what I want as soon as that time ticks over. No, I don't want to pay $300 per ticket. But starting again means I've dropped my way back to the queue again. I'm way back now. As I go back and change it to definitely not $300 per ticket. The scalpers, they're always on my mind while I'm faffing around. They're getting all the tickets they want. Ali really wants to go and trying to get hold of six tickets, but then it's only going to let me get three. Can't get four, so I get three, and then it won't let me get two, and then I'm getting one, and then I'm getting another one, and will I get the last one? Once in a lifetime! But I got them. Oh, but we're not sitting together. We're going to share this once in a lifetime experience, but there'll be one over there and one over there, and, you know, we'll be probably on our phones trying to stay in touch or whatever. I did that because I want to go and see Elton John for him to entertain us for just a couple of hours in September. Not because it's going to do any other people any good, really. It's just to go and enjoy that. We won't actively be thinking, I don't think, of the best good of our fellow revelers when we're there. But imagine when the 20-something of September comes and we're all there and it's once in a lifetime, you know, and this is now sort of far away still for us not to freak out about it, but suddenly, when we're there, you smell smoke. Not dry ice smoke, smoke. Smoke from a fire. And the fire alarm goes off and there is a fire and 8,000 or more people have got to get out of the deck or die. And then this thing changes from pure entertainment and enjoyment to life and death. Instantly I hear that alarm. I change my thinking. It's not about being entertained now. It's about what's truly best for me and truly best for those who are closest to me. The ones I love and the ones I know. And I reckon I'd even be thinking about those I don't know, who maybe need help in that situation. And one thing that should help me to think well about all of that, if it happens, is that I'm a Christian. I'm saved by grace for all eternity, guaranteed an eternal life of awesomeness in God's presence with Jesus because of Jesus. Now, we're wrapping up the series that we've been going through on showing up. And it's been about giving us some big biblical reasons why church matters and meeting together as church matters, and specifically why this precious time on Sunday mornings is precious. To encourage us, whatever we feel, to treat this thing as if it is once in a lifetime. I mean, Elton John's good, isn't he? He's pretty good. But he's not that good compared to God. Compared to Jesus. It's not going to cost you $300 to sit here either. Elton John's good. Not that good, but God is. And so I try to encourage us that there's a countdown to the next Sunday morning that starts as soon as we're home from this one. Or when we meet as a GC, or Yale, when we meet together as a church. So first reason was show up, or thinking about helping us to think about that, was show up for God's sake. Sounded a bit terse and a bit sort of bald on the website, like the raving, raging pastor. But it was about an encounter with the living God. That's what's happening from God's perspective. And that's the perspective that we need. We saw that in Hebrews 12. He's promised to be with his people when they meet together. Some churches, they have sites. So I think Hillsong Connect does this. And they tune in to the big thing happening in Sydney or wherever it is. Well, this is even better than that. We're actually expressing. This is the thinking we need. We're actually expressing now, believe it or not, an awesome heavenly reality that we've been singing about, including elders singing and all that sort of stuff. Thousands of angels in joyful assembly. That's what we've come to. And you thought you'd just come here. That helps us with our thinking. Show up for God's sake, for this encounter with God. But then show up for your own sake, we saw last week. If you know what's good for you, do not turn away from the living God. We're his house. We are his building and he is in the house. So get selfish about this stuff in the best possible way. Get selfish about God. For your own sake. It's going to help you get to the end. And today, final one, showing up for others' sake. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, let's get into this. Point number one is this. Meeting together encourages others. It's our first point. Meeting together encourages others. We've got the word consider. Let us consider in our passage. And I've done a fair bit of considering about lots of things recently. But in a practical level, we're just trying to put a shed up and we've prepared for a slab of concrete to be poured. And there's some pier holes, some sort of deep holes every so often, and then a trench, and then an area that needs to be filled in with concrete. So for the foundations. Now, it rained, didn't it, last week, pretty heavily for a day or so, and all those things filled up with water. And I had an inspection happening that needed the holes not to be full of water. So I started considering how to get the water out. Now, I had some help in that considering with Jake, who had a little... He also considers things like that. And it was good. But how to get the sludge out? So Jake gave me a little pump, and that was great until the muddy, sludgy stuff blocks the pump up. So then I'm thinking about it again. Oh, what should I do? So I thought, okay, I'm going to try and get the sludge out with a sort of cut-off plant pot that I'm going to push down, because there's all the Rio metal, like a grid that you've got to poke through. So you can't have something big. You've got to fiddle with it and get it down there and try and get this sludge out. That didn't work. thought about it again. I ended up cutting off a soft drink bottle with a stick shoved through it. It was great. Put it down, straight in, filled up over the edge, pulled it up through a hole. Fantastic. It wasn't quick and efficient. I can tell you that. But it involved considering about this issue. A fair bit of considering was happening. Now, God's word here is directing God's people, that's us, if we follow Jesus, to consider something very important that won't just happen by itself. How we might spur one another on to love and good deeds. How's that going to happen? Spur. It's quite a sharp word, isn't it? I'm sure we can consider how to spur one another. Jab. Prod. But it's not that sort of idea, because there's love involved. It doesn't mean, another translation is stir up. How can we stir one another up? And we can do that in certain ways, but we're not to be stirrers. It's a different way of prodding and jabbing people, stirring one another up because you're just being a nuisance and a pain and a little mosquito. It's going, and it gets people going, get off me, get away from me. So we've got to consider how this is going to happen. And the idea here is of being stirred up. It's the idea of get you moving. How to get you pumped. Excited, enthusiastic. How to get you excited about love and good deeds. It's not just going to happen. We've got to consider how it will happen. There's flies everywhere now that I've started doing that, isn't there? I do this with basketball coaching. Training is one thing. Right, but game day is totally different. Now, we had our first game for the Kings under-16s team last week, and training's been a bit lackluster. It didn't help that it was super, super hot. And the kids come in after a long day at school, and they're just tired as and a bit, and I'm saying, intensity, intensity, and they're like, And they play this game against a team that have been playing together for a long time. And they got absolutely hammered. We kept them under 100, though, with some desperate defense in the last minute. The first 60 seconds was a baptism of fire, and then it got worse. Now, I'm hoping that stirred them up to a different level of thinking and behaviour, because the coach never loses. The coach never loses a game. There's always so much to help for the next game. So, oh, you know, that's great for me. But you can see, I want them to get stirred up. But once they're stirred up to a different level of thinking and behaviour, I then also need to think how to keep it there, because we tend to vague out and vague out. And it dissipates. The enthusiasm drains away. Now, one way, we try, and we'll continue to try, to give and make available the tools to help us be proactive. We've got this thing called growth plans. I want to ask, you don't have to put hands up, but how many of you have got an active growth plan at the moment? Because that's an opportunity for stirring each other up in a good way. Growth plans involve this idea of considering how. How can I do that? How can that happen? How can I encourage my brother or sister in Christ? It requires personal commitment. It requires ownership. And probably, if we're honest, it requires accountability. Permission to ask about it and so on. Opening yourself up to someone else. But we're being urged as God's people to consider how we might spur one another on, and we need to respond to that somehow. But having said all of that, the writer to the Hebrews gives us one for free, doesn't he? Verse 6. because we're scratching our heads still. I'm considering now. But he says, and here's one you can have for free. The sentence that we have is not broken up in the original. And so the sense here is spur one another on. Okay, consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. It joins on. It's connected. Here's a way that we can spur one another on. Here's a way that will help us get to love and good deeds. And just to clinch it for us, the idea of encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, that follows, is in direct contrast to not meeting together. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but opposite, not giving up meeting, so people not meeting together, bad, but instead, encourage one another. It implies meeting together is really, really important. And that's true, isn't it, in our own experience. We do keep an eye here on attendance, and praise God, we're on an upward trend. That's great. But we have in recent times fluctuated from 1 week to the next, from low 40s to over 70. And that's just two totally different environments. Now, it's just a little study, and there's all sorts of reasons why that might be the case. But I tell you what, the one that feels most encouraging is the one where everyone's here. You know? It all feeds into a great vibe. When God's people gather together, being here encourages others. I could just stay on generalizations, but I'm going to go with a few specifics, and I do want to encourage us all by being encouraged by some. And I do just want to say that after G'day Willa and hello Graham, and then great to see you, the next line is always, I love being here. That is such an encouragement, Willa. Such an encouragement. And how old are you? 94. 22. Yeah. Yeah, a lot. 22 in the previous century. It's awesome encouragement. Ted Holmes used to stand by that heater on a cold day and his lips were blue. And he'd be like this. And he'd be there just trying to warm up from near-death temperature to... What an encouragement. And we've got brothers and sisters who just encourage us in this sort of way. It's a wonderful thing. And it's so wonderful when we capture and emulate that sort of thinking. Is that how you think of this? There's an opportunity to encourage. Is that how you consider this? At this point, I want to add in another dimension. I mean, we focused on the others here as we think about for others' sake, being one another in the church family. But I want to extend that to include those who are new to us, those who are visitors, who find themselves amongst us. Our vision is for everyone in Margate, the Channel and beyond, to get to know Jesus for their salvation, for the good of society and for the glory of God. We want everyone to get to know Jesus. Now, we want our meetings to get bigger as people get to know Jesus, but not just because we want our meetings to get bigger. Not really because we want to be a successful church, although that can be a temptation. I think we're already a successful church. But part of pursuing what God wants is demonstrating to all how big a deal it is for us to meet together. And we can encourage them by thinking about them, the newcomers, those who aren't here yet. We can do that by being on time, by which we mean being early. We've tried to say that a few different ways. Because people see good morning Sundays, 10 a.m. on the massive thing, on the thing outside the church. So they think, I don't really want to get here at 10. I have to get here at 5:02, maybe 10:02. And they'll get here at 10:02. And how many people are here at 10:02? Being on time. Owning our events. So we had a Carol's event last year, in the latter end of the year. We did lose a bit of momentum throughout the year last year. It was the one thing that we wanted to do at Christmas. The one thing. And I tell you, if we didn't have a whole bunch of visitors from other churches come, it would have been not the event that it was. Contrast that with how we own the pancake event, which is on Good Friday and is just around the corner, where everyone was there and visitors were there. You know? Now, in God's grace and sovereignty, both of those were good events. But they felt different from this point of view. In this passage, the lettuce is good for you. Well, that's not in this passage, but it's all about let us. Let us. It's not just let me, let you. It's let us. Let us draw near to God. Let us take the opportunity that Jesus has given to us because of what he's done. That's the argument that the writer to the Hebrews gives us. Let us come because we can. Don't give up. But maybe we need some more encouragement. So, let's introduce again what the writer introduces, the day approaching. Would it help us to think about it better in the light of the day approaching? A second point, meeting together helps get us to the end. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. All the more as you see the day approaching. You might ask, well, the only day I see approaching is, I don't know, payday or Elton John in September, or I don't know, it might be any other day. That's not what this guy is talking about. There's a thing here about perspective and perception. What do we think about as we look to the future? The day here is the last day. The day when Jesus comes again. The day of judgment, which is also the day of salvation. And so it turns out there is a countdown, but not to the Elton John concert, or not to the Elton John concert pre-sale even. But there's a bigger countdown, but we don't quite know what it is. But it is closer now than it was a minute ago, or a week ago, or 94 years ago. It's coming. And it seems, as we read Scripture, that we're to live our lives now in the light of that day that is to come. And meeting together helps to remind us of that and be focused on that. In the New Testament, the second coming of Christ is mentioned on average something like every 8 verses. It's that often. It's a big deal. How long does it take to read 8 verses? I don't know. A minute, maybe, being generous. How about every minute we think about the second coming? That would make us live differently, wouldn't it? Some things we're told get thought about as often as 6 seconds. But how often are we thinking about the second coming? Might be once a week, maybe, if we're regular here. Maybe more than that if we're regular at GC as well. Maybe even more than that if we're going really well with our daily devotions and so on. But the reality is it's probably not that much. Why? I think the reason is that due to our sinful natures and due to the life and the society that we find ourselves living, we tend to be more focused on the sort of concert vibe. This is what I want to do. This is why I want to do it. Got my reasons. More focused on that vibe, just a list of things to get done. Hopefully more than others are enjoyable and so on. We focus more on that vibe than the fire at the concert vibe. And that's what sin does in all its deceitfulness. And some of those things, great things, but it changes them into the only thing. And then God's wiped out of the picture. It gets us focused on entertainment and ourselves rather than urgent mission and others. And so any sense of urgency is driven maybe by selfish reasons if it's there at all. That's the way it can go. That's what we're up against. But here we go. When I meet together with you, I'm reminded that I want you to get to the end. I'm reminded that even though in a sense I'm sort of paid to be here, but it's not really the reason why I'm here. It's to get you to the end. That's the reason. That's what the reason the writer to the Hebrews, which is God the Holy Spirit at one level, wants us to have for each other. We came to church this morning for ... And what's that reason? Be to praise Jesus and so on. But part of it is to be to get you to the end. Can get us considering how to spur one another on to love and good works. It matters then, doesn't it? Meeting together matters. If that's all true, it matters. And so let's just think finally why we might give up meeting together. Let's be clear, the Hebrews were facing this temptation to give up meeting. That's clear to us in our passage. Why would they give it up? Well, for them, the issue was persecution. It was people giving them a hard time, a genuinely hard time. And if you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll see echoes of what's going on, your suggestions of their true situation. They were under pressure, under attack, and they were at the stage of saying, "This is too hard. We're going to go back to the old way." That was their situation. Persecution through outright active hatred with the threat of property being taken, being imprisoned, or worse, being harmed and maybe killed. So we haven't really got that one, have we? That's not really a reason for us to give up meeting together. It may come in the future. It may come. But it's not for us now. It is for some people around the world. We need to remember them and ask God to encourage them. We need to consider how to spur them on to love and good works, to encourage them to keep going to the end. But that's not our issue. Maybe it's familiarity breeds contempt. That might be an issue. Our expectations have become conditioned by just the stuff that happens, and we've got that on a different level to Elton John, who's once in a lifetime. I can get excited about that. This thing's every week. Yeah. And it's become familiar because we've taken our eyes off some of these big reasons. And so there's contempt, not overtly, but maybe subconsciously, unwittingly. That might be why we give up meeting together. It might be because we're too busy. There's too many things going on. It's 168 hours in a week with 8 hours sleep. There's 112 hours awake in the week. Maybe there's a bit of grey area between waking up and whatever. So you can say there's 100 hours in the week. Church is two. This is two. This is two. GC might be another two. That's four. Out of 100, 4% of your waking life each week. I mean, in some ways, it's a pretty low bar. Even if you're fully engaged in serving on, two or three different things, it goes up to maybe 10%. It's a pretty low bar on the one side, and on the other side, what are these reasons about it? How good is it for us? In fact, not just good, it's necessary, isn't it? It's urgent. I used to do student ministry when I was sort of training, and the student vibe is all, you know, all times of stress, apart from in the bar when you can't remember, but the stress is obviously still there. It's just underneath a load of other stuff for a lot of students. But stress is always there. And it's too busy just to come along to a campus Bible talk, which is just half an hour in a lunchtime a week. There's a time when we've got to say too busy is exactly what it says. Too busy. Because it comes back to the reality we've got the same amount of time. And we've got to work out priorities in the light of what's most important to us. And that's the work that we need to do under God. What's most important? If we're too busy, the likelihood is, yeah, we're too busy. And that should be an encouragement to reassess how we're going. Because why wouldn't you want to meet together if what the writer to the Hebrews says is true? Why wouldn't you? With the reasons that we've considered over this series, what would it take for it to be an absolutely huge deal? Not to show up at church. Not to show up when we meet together. Do we need, before God, to re-examine our hearts? To ask Him to take our motivations and shape them? Because what He wants to do, most of all, is get us to the end. Because He wants to be with us forever. And that includes us wanting to be with each other forever, which is a striking thought. But it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. That's the hope and the joy. And that's what the angels are celebrating as we gather here. And we can do that with them. So these are big challenges. And look, I'm aware we've got some who aren't here, but I want us to encourage each other. If you've missed out on one of these series, check in on the website and listen to them. See if they're the hobby horses and ramblings of an irate pastor, or see whether they come from God's Word. Yeah? That's a way we can spur one another on. Because I want everyone, all of us in this church, to gather around these truths and to know them. Our big idea is simply this. If you know what's good for everyone, show up at church. Don't give up meeting, as some are in the habit of doing. It's not my idea, it's not the elders' idea. I believe, I think we can see, it's God's idea. So let's respond humbly before Him. And we'll start that as we pray just now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need time to think. We need time to examine. We need time just to be still before You, to acknowledge who You are, to acknowledge the truth of Your Word, those things that we believe. We're sorry for where there's gaps between what we confess and how we behave. But Lord, will You impress upon us, convince us, right in the core of our being, that we need You, that we need one another, and that we need church. You've given it to us. You've made it to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. This awesomely wonderful compliment to Jesus that we'll be together for eternity. It's good to be together, even when we don't feel like it. It's good to be together because we want to get to the end. And there'll be no looking back thinking, oh, that was, yeah, maybe should have gone the other way on that Sunday the 19th. Because we should be able to see with the absolute clarity of eternity that it was good to meet together in the name of Jesus. Please help us to respond in the way that we need to, and help us to spur one another on lovingly to love and good deeds. And help us not to give up meeting together, but to encourage one another, not less, but increasingly, because that day is coming. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.